No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this afternoon on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good afternoon, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Back at it again, a mere 6.5 hours after we last left you. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, with Ezra Ginsberg here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets 4-2 victory in St. Paul, Minnesota. Ezzy, the Jets continue their season-long mastery of the Wild with what I would describe as a very tidy effort tonight, particularly in the latter half of the game, really sort of taking a stranglehold and taking control against a Minnesota Wild team that, you know, mathematically would have been desperate, but the Winnipeg Jets sort of getting goal scoring from depth players to come away with the victory this afternoon.
Yeah, we've got the comment up there from Gilbert. Fourth line had a game, and that's for sure. Loved Alex Iafallo's game. Loved Morgan Barron getting the fourth goal for the Jets. And obviously, Nemestikov had himself a three-point game. So, you know, that kind of reminds you of, you know, the first half of the season. We keep talking about how the second half of the season has been so much different than the first half of the season. But the fourth line, when they're contributing, I mean, and the third line for that matter, you know, Lowry had the breakaway shorthanded. Obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury made the save, and then Iafallo fed Lowry, and he had another kind of, I think you'd probably call it a partial breakaway, but yeah. So, you know, Niederreiter did not play. Lowry, Appleton, and Toffoli, I thought, were great on the third line. And then, you know, really, I thought all four lines were great today, right? Like, Ehlers, Scheifele, Vilardi, the line that we've been clamoring for basically since the last time they played together, really good. And then I really like Cole Perfetti's game again this afternoon. So, yeah, it was a complete effort. Obviously, you know, Kirill Kaprizov, you know, he's one of the best offensive players in the league for a reason, and he gets his two goals. He's one away from 40. Shout out to Sidney Crosby, by the way, who got his 40th goal earlier today against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They won 5-4.
Well, huge victory for them. We talked about it this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Just, I mean, you can't overstate how important that victory was for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, they're in the driver. Can you believe it that they're practically in the driver's seat now to make the playoffs there?
No, I can't believe it, considering that they traded Jake Guentzel and they basically looked as good as dead in the playoff race in the Eastern Conference, right? So even if you're not a Penguins fan, it's just a great story, right?
You have to love Sidney Crosby in the playoffs. Well, Crosby belongs in the playoffs.
Exactly. The playoffs are just better with Sidney Crosby there, even if they end up, you know, exiting in the first round. And he's just, you know, 85 points now at 36 years old. Like, you know, he could easily hit 90 points. I don't think he's going to hit 100, but this is Sidney Crosby we're talking about here, so I wouldn't underestimate him. As Drew tends to something.
I'm multitasking today. Okay, is what
Drew just handed a document to somebody. Drew is broadcasting. For those who don't know, I know this because Drew told me.
You don't need
me
to say anything. I'm multitasking.
Drew is schedule. Some parts unknown. Drew is in an undisclosed location. We're not going to give it away, but he's not in his house. Let's just say that Drew is multitasking and hard at work, as he mentioned. But yeah, I think overall this is a complete game. I loved the Jets on the penalty kill. Loved, as I said, loved the Lowry line. Loved how the fourth line contributed two goals. And, you know, you're now within striking distance of the Avalanche. Same amount of games played, and the Jets are 2 points back. So a week ago,
with the tiebreaker.
Exactly. So, you know, a week ago, it looked like the Avalanche kind of had second locked down. But the Avalanche play the Stars tomorrow. And of the remaining five games for the Avalanche, only one isn't against a playoff team, and that's against the Minnesota Wild. So the Avalanche schedule isn't easy. And that Jets Avalanche game, by the way, next weekend, that could easily determine second in the Central.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a more important game than I necessarily would have thought. But yeah, I mean, they are getting to be in a very very interesting point in the season where things are going to matter more in these last five games than I necessarily thought they would maybe a couple days ago. They are, you know, I was probably maybe a little arrogant, a little bit too self-assured in saying the Jets are going to finish third, because they certainly are within that striking distance, especially having that tiebreaker of matching the Colorado Avalanche or exceeding them and getting that home ice advantage in the potential fourth of seven, the fourth home game in a first round series.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's arrogance, Drew. I think the Jets lost six games in a row, right? Like, yeah. So things weren't trending very well, but you string together some wins here. And then obviously we talked about it on this morning show, the Avalanche lost to the Oilers yesterday, 6-2. Then all of a sudden, it's 2 points with the same amount of games played. And it's not going to be easy. We talked about it. Colorado's schedule is not easy. The Jets' schedule is not easy. Obviously, the game Monday has implications because, of course, the Predators are in the first wild card spot, right? So
Tuesday.
Tuesday. But yeah.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday.
The Jets, that's not what I meant. But
right.
Two teams that are going to the playoffs and could possibly meet most likely in the second round. It's not going to be in the first round, obviously, right? So, it's not. And then you got the Stars and you got the Avalanche before you come back home and you play the Canucks. I think the Canucks is the last game of the season.
Last home game. And you got Seattle. So you have Seattle and which is, the easiest of your upcoming games. Right. I mean, you had of your final six, two of them were against non-playoff teams, today against Minnesota. And then next Tuesday, a week from 9 days from now against Seattle, everything else, you got playoff teams ahead of you. But the
right.
Jets
and that's all you want, right? You want to, at this time of the year, you want to, like you said, Drew, so many times the regular season is meaningless. And this time of year, you're already locked into a position, but it both in the Western and the Eastern Conference, I mean, there aren't that many seeds, to be honest with you, that are currently locked in. Like, you look at the East, wild card's completely wide open. First is wide open. You got the Rangers, the Bruins, the Panthers, they could all finish first.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Western Conference, it looks like Dallas most likely is going to finish first. But I mean, up and down the conference, Pacific Division, there's still seeding to be determined. So that's, as a fan, that's what you want at this time of year, right?
Absolutely. You want good races, you want good games, you want competitive contests, and you want important hockey coming down the stretch. And the Jets with the victory this afternoon certainly did their part. Let's get into the nitty-gritty details of this afternoon's win by the Winnipeg Jets. We like to call it the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap.
The reason we like to call it the Betway Game Recap is they pay us to do so. That's sort of how it works. They give us money, we call it the Betway Game Recap. As you all know, Betway is the most trusted voice in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. For Betway lets you bet your way. So head on over to Betway and do so. You must be 19 years or older to play, and we always encourage you to please play responsibly. When you got a game like today's, this afternoon contest against the Minnesota Wild, a team that's, like I said, mathematically, not officially eliminated, but by all intents and purposes, it's important to get off to a good start. And that's exactly what the Winnipeg Jets did. Vlad Namestnikov getting his 11th of the year, assist to Alex Iafallo, this coming at the 2:33 mark of the first period, Ezra. And it's just a soft play by Alex Goligoski behind the net. You couldn't tell if there's some miscommunication there or sort of what's happening, but very slow in trying to react. And the Jets just say, okay, we're going to take advantage of it. And Iafallo is quick on the puck and he feeds it out to Namestnikov and he sort of, shuffles it through Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's a goal for the Jets. And it's right in the blue paint where the Jets have been scoring, in the last couple games, a lot of their goals right in that sort of the quote unquote dirty areas.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment there. Like, it was Goligoski and John Merrill. That's the Wild's third pairing. And Marc-Andre Fleury leaves the puck behind the net for Goligoski. And he, like you said, he kind of just gets to it a little bit slow. And then what I like is that you have good pressure from Morgan Barron on Alex Goligoski. And then Alex Iafallo is on John Merrill. So you have good forechecking pressure from two forwards, F1 and F2, if you want to get technical here. And Vlad Domestikov's going to the net. And he gets the puck and like originally it didn't seem like it necessarily went in, and Namestnikov didn't think maybe at first it went in, but it squeaks through Marc-Andre Fleury. So yeah, Goligoski and John Merrill, let's be honest here, these are 30 plus year old defensemen, and it's just a little bit slow. And it's just a hardworking fourth line goal. And we taught you asked me, Drew, and obviously you gave your opinion as well. What do we want to see from the Jets through the last six games? It's goals like this. It's effort like this, right? Like, it's getting greasy goals. It's creating, it's being opportunistic. So I love the forechecking pressure from Barron and Iafallo, and love the finish from Namestnikov. I thought this was one of Namestnikov's best games in a long time. And we talked about it, you know, once Nino Niederreiter comes back, you know, that means that someone's going to come out of the lineup. We'll wait and see what's going to happen here, but you know, is it Cole Perfetti? Is it Alex Iafallo? It's not going to be Morgan Barron. I can tell you that much, because he hasn't been a healthy scratch once this year. So, and he's played well. He just scored his, what was his 10th of the year? 11th of the year.
Today, 11th.
There you go. So he's got 11 goals. He's been a staple of that fourth line. So is it going to be Iafallo? I mean, you could have, Drew, you could have 2/3 of the players acquired in the Pierre-Luc Dubois as healthy scratches when the playoffs start. So, I mean, again, that just shows you how good the forward depth is for the Jets.
Well, you know, it's funny. You talk about, you know, and depth goal scoring, which has been such an issue for this team for so long. Look, today, Namestnikov gets his 11th, you know, and spoiler alert, folks, Alex Iafallo gets his 11th, and Morgan Barron gets his 11th. So the Jets, you know, they haven't always played on a fourth line role for the entirety of the year. In fact, for a lot of it, they haven't. But the current iteration of the Jets fourth line has 33 total goals this year. And I don't think, you know, I'm pretty
that's
sure.
So impressive, right? Like, well, that's,
you could have combined the last 3 years of fourth lines and they wouldn't have had 33 goals in total.
Yeah, no offense, you know, to James Wright. for those who remember James Wright from the kind of the 2014 vintage Jets.
Yeah, alongside Mark Flood, and Mark Flood was a defenseman though. But yes, it was a bit of a different situation than it was before. Kirill Kaprizov ties the game up at the 8:46 mark of the first period. It's his 38th of the year. Matt Zuccarello with the assist, and it's, you know, not a great look by Kyle Connor here. He gets the puck stolen a little bit, but lots of skill on display and just an absolute wicked backhand by Kaprizov to beat Connor Hellebuck and tie the game just before the halfway mark of the first period.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, it's a turnover from Kyle Connor, and obviously he scores right after, or not right after, but shortly after to give the Jets the 2-1 lead. That's why I put out Connor giveth and Connor taketh away. We used to say that about Buff when he was a member of the Jets, but you know, Connor was giving the puck up today, but fortunately he was playing really well and he was scoring as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, what's unfortunate here is that Connor makes a nice play originally close to the Jets' blue line, and he kind of boxes out or just kind of pokes the puck away from Zuccarello, but then he gives the puck away, and hence the giveth and taketh away, and Zuccarello just gets it to Kaprizov, who's right in the slot. And, you know, those turnaround backhand shots are so unpredictable for goalies, and Dan Robertson and Kevin Sawyer talked about it on the broadcast. So as we mentioned, that was Kaprizov's 38th. He obviously got another goal in this game, but just bad puck management by Connor. Just a little soft. Again, it's easy for us to make that call, but you know, that was just a free giveaway, and the Jets weren't set and ready to defend Zuccarello's pass to Kaprizov. So it was a nice goal by the Wild, but again, you know, it makes you question again Kyle Connor's commitment to play defense. Like, he's just got to be stronger on the puck there. He's got to make a better play.
That's right. You just have to be a little bit stronger. You can't get away with that, because too often than not, it's going to end up in the back of your net, is really what that boils down to.
And do you have to answer the phone, Drew?
I don't have to answer the phone, but I appreciate you asking. Thank you, Ezzy. Jets retake the lead at the 11:44 mark. So just under 3 minutes later, 2 minutes and 58 seconds later, Kyle Connor gets his 31st of the season, assist to Sean Monahan and Dylan DeMello. It's a 2-on-1 here. And it's an absolute beautiful play. A beautiful pass by Monahan to hit Kyle Connor, and Connor makes no mistake on that. And again, the Jets are able to sort of expose the defensive pairing of Merrill and Goligoski. Thank you.
It's all good. I mean, that's the third pair for the Wild. We talked about the first goal that Namestnikov scored. So obviously, you know, that D pair for the Wild didn't have the best game. But yeah, I mean, look, The Wild didn't manage the puck very well there, in terms of, you know, they were a little bit deep in their zone, and Perfetti makes a nice play on Merrill. And then this is just, you know, beautiful execution by Sean Monahan. He threads it And Kyle Connor didn't even get all of it. Like, he kind of only got a piece of it. But because Fleury's going left to right, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of speed there, Connor coming down the left wing, just a beauty feed by Monahan and nice execution. And again, Connor makes up for his mistake on the Kaprizov goal, and the Jets have the 2-1 lead. So obviously momentum killing if you're the Minnesota Wild, because you did all of that, you know, good work to tie it up. And I thought, you know, for the most part, the Jets were the better team in the first period. It kind of, there was kind of slower parts to it. But we talked about it, Monahan, Connor, and Perfetti. It's not a line that we necessarily expect to stay together.
Well, because they got good chemistry right now. They're playing well.
They are. So we'll see what happens. But nice execution on that one.
It is certainly nice execution to give the Jets a 2-1 lead just over the halfway mark of the first period. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg. We do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And, of course, we do the Illegal Curve hockey show on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. That's what we did about, let's say, just under 7 hours ago. We were doing that as well. So it's certainly been a busy Saturday for Ezzy and yours truly. The Wild tie it up. It's a power play goal. Kirill Kaprizov is just such a fantastic hockey player. I don't know how he sneaks this shot through Connor Hellebuck. You, by the way, a surprise, at least to me and to you, I believe. I don't want to put words in your mouth, though, Ezzy.
I thought it was going to be Brassois. No, we talked about it, and we talked about it with Jamie Thomas, right?
Yeah. Like,
there's only six games left, so you know Brassois at the very least is going to get a couple of these games, but we were making the argument that he should probably get half of them. And obviously that's not going to happen now. So you would have to think, just based on how Rick Bonus has talked about giving Hellebuck a break, you would think that Brassois plays Tuesday against Nashville, but we'll have to see.
I would think so, but yeah, I expected it to be Brassois today as well, and clearly it wasn't. But Hellebuck gets beat here. Kaprizov from a bit of a bad angle, but not, Zuccarello and Brock Faber getting the assists on this power play goal that comes with 4 minutes and 18 seconds to go in the first period. Real nice pass, nice seam pass by Zuccarello to hit Kaprizov, and Kaprizov is just, I mean, he's just such a fantastic hockey player, and it's a pleasure to watch him. And the Jets certainly targeted him, as you should. You should target the opponent's best player, and the Jets, were physical with him, as they have been, and I'm sure some people saw Michael Russo was tweeting again along those lines, commenting on the Jets' physicality against Kirill Kaprizov. But, you know, to be perfectly frank, if the refs aren't going to call it, the Jets should continue to do it. And, you know, this happens even though Kaprizov scores here to tie it up at 2 goals apiece.
Yeah, and kind of similar to Kyle Connor's 2-on-1, like, Kaprizov doesn't get all of it here. Like, this is not like, Kaprizov's kind of A-plus one-timer here. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of odd because, you know, I know some people in the chat were talking about the angle and everything like this, but skilled players, highly skilled players, I should say, like this, could score at kind of weird angles. Like, he's low in the faceoff circle, but, you know, he gets enough of it. And, you know, Connor Hellebuck, you know, maybe he'd like to, some people were saying he overcommitted a little bit. Like, again, Connor Hellebuck's the best goalie in the world right now, so I'm not going to really fault him at all on this one. And, you know, it is on the power play, so you obviously have to worry about the extra man on the ice here. But, look, it was a nice shot. And, you know, the Wild tie the game up here. And Kaprizov had a couple goals. But, you know, I don't have any problem with the way Hellebuck played this one. It's a nice shot.
And so the first... Yeah, it's a nice shot. And the first period ends with the score 2-2 in what I thought was a very entertaining and well-played, by and large, first period for both teams. And then the question becomes one of what happens in the final 40 minutes. And I thought the final 40 minutes is where you saw the Winnipeg Jets' depth really make a big difference in the course of today's game. They just, I mean, you look at Minnesota's roster and they're depleted. I mean, they are without Ryan Hartman due to him being a lunatic and getting suspended for throwing a stick at the ref. By the way, how is that only worth 3 games when you throw a stick at the ref or in the direction of the ref?
Like, shouldn't that be at least 5?
I don't know. You throw a stick from the bench in the direction of the officials. Seems like it shouldn't be that difficult to assess a lengthier penalty.
Which
on that
coach
one.
Drew did that back in the day? Remember there was a coach that, like, basically threw it like javelin style.
Was it Jim Playfair?
I was gonna say Barry Melrose, but, like, it could have been. I think, wasn't Jim Playfair also the coach that took his his like suit jacket off.
Wasn't it? Yeah, he was. He sort of ripped his shirt and did the whole like incredible Hulk sort of Hulk smash.
There was a coach that javelin style. Maybe the chat can help me out here. I want to say that was back in the 1990s. It was a long time ago.
Back when personality was allowed to all at this point in time. And then. The second period begins, and the turn. It comes at the 13:39 mark of the second period. Alex Iafallo gets his 11th of the season. I thought it was Brendan Dillon's, but it wasn't. They changed it to Iafallo on the tip. Assist Dillon though, and Vlad Namestnikov to give the Jets the 3-2 lead. And it's based on a good cycle. This is the Jets just cycling the puck and really grinding the Wild down, and it's an important sort of another fourth line goal for the Jets in what was a game of fourth line goals, with the exception of the Connor one. You got to see just how important depth is in the course of tonight's game, because the way they were able to just sort of take control of the game based on the better players towards the bottom of the roster.
Yeah, and before this game goal was scored, if you remember, the Lowry line was out there, so there was a full change. Like the Jets had the puck in the Wild zone for, I don't know, felt like it was 2 minutes, but it was probably more like a minute. And yeah, I mean, look, the fourth line was feeling it tonight. And you're right. Originally, it looked like Dillon had it. It didn't look like Iafallo got a stick on it. And especially the way Brendan Dillon celebrated. You see, like, when let's be honest, Dillon's more of a defensive defenseman. And when you haven't scored in a while, you love the way those guys celebrate, right?
If he had scored, if this goal stays with him, he ties Morrissey for the Jets' lead in goals by defensemen.
Well, I remember early this season, he had, like, through the first 20 or 25 games, I want to say he had, like, 5 goals.
I know.
So Dillon's had a great season, like, just both defensively and offensively. But, you know, and now I'm looking at the replay, and he is pointing at Iafallo, but... they didn't award it to him until the intermission, I believe. But yeah, just good work for the Lowry line, keeping the puck in the zone, keeping it alive. And like good work by Namestnikov, who retrieved the puck in the corner and obviously got the puck at the point to Dillon. And then Iafallo did the rest of the work with the nice tip. But you have to love the effort by the fourth line, because, you know, that's what you're going to need when you're going up against a team like the Avalanche, right? Like, this is going to be a tight series. I imagine most of these games are going to be one goal games. And if the Scheifele line or the Monahan line doesn't have it, that's when the depth comes in, whether it's Cole Perfetti on the fourth line, whether it's Barron, Namestnikov or Iafallo. So that was a huge goal at the time, the way they were playing. And what I liked is not only did the Jets shut it down from a defensive perspective, they were aggressive, right? Like, we talked about it. Lowry had a really good chance. Iafallo fed him. He had a good chance. I believe that was later. I forget if it was the when Morgan Barron took the cross-checking penalty late.
Yeah, that was in the second
period. I think that's when Lowry had the breakaway chance, right? And Marc-Andre Fleury came up with a big save, right? So, it was really the third and fourth lines that got it done for the Jets tonight. Today, it was impressive.
And that's important. I mean, that's what you need. Like you said, you need that come playoff time. It's not always the headline players. It's oftentimes your depth players or your role players who come up big for you when it matters the most come playoff time. And that's quickly where we're approaching. 2 weeks from today is when, of course, the playoffs will begin. We don't yet know the Jets' schedule. We don't know if they're going to play on the Saturday or if they're going to play on the Sunday. What we do know, of course, is that if they start on the road, game one on the road, we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue for an Illegal Curve live watch party and post-game show. So that's for game one on the road, whenever that is. And then home games, we're going to be at City Place for the Illegal Curve pregame show. So that's a new feature coming up for the playoffs. We've partnered with our friends at City Place for pregame shows prior to the Winnipeg Jets home games upcoming in playoff time. So in the next couple weeks, we'll know more about the details as to when all those games are going to be and all those schedules of that. So stay tuned to that here on
the show. And I don't believe we're doing an intermission show. I think pregame show, postgame show, I think that's enough for us.
I think that's probably good enough. 3-2 for the Jets after 40 minutes. And then the third period they get, again, I thought they played very well in the third period. For a third consecutive game now, they're able to shut down the opponent. They're not giving the opponent much hope to try and crawl back into the game. They did it against LA after Perfetti scored the what ended up being the game-winning goal. They did it against Calgary on Thursday, and then they did it in the third period today, and then they get the insurance marker. Morgan Barron, his 11th. How about that? I mentioned it. I sort of want to go back to that again. Barron with 11, Iafallo with 11, Domestnikov with 11, all getting him on the same game. His 11th of the season, Dylan Sandberg with the assist, and Vlad Domestnikov as well. So it's a three-point night for Domestnikov, and it's a two-point night for Iafallo, and of course that goal by Morgan Barron is the insurance marker for the Winnipeg Jets. And again, it's just a good hardworking goal. You're in front of the net, you're causing chaos, and you get your stick on a point shot from Dylan Sandberg in this case to give the Jets the 4-2 lead, which ends up being the final score tonight. Before you get your feedback on that goal, as I want to declare that goal our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Whatever you're doing on this Saturday night, we'd encourage you to do it responsibly. And if you're in the mood to have a drink or two, we recommend some of the fine Seagram's products like Seagram's VO, or of course, our personal favorite here on the show, Fireball. Always good for a Saturday night. I think Ezzy's going to be drinking some of that when he goes out roller skating in a couple hours time.
Yeah, I mean, Fireball and roller skating, that's what you do when you're 41 years old, right, Drew, I guess? But yeah.
Fireball, roller skating, and a trip to the emergency room. That's a Saturday night in the Ginsburg.
Yeah, yeah, the Ginsburg trifecta. Fireball, roller skating, and the emergency room. I like that, Drew. But thank Fireball you. Is good in all situations. It's a little bit better roller skating, I think, than watching an afternoon Jets Wild game. But you know what I like about this game? We talked about, you know, I don't want to single out old Alex Goligoski because he's had a good career from Minnesota. He's played over 1,000 games. But what I like about Iafallo is he's got the puck on the Wild blue line. And what he does is he draws Goligoski out, and Goligoski comes out with Iafallo, and Iafallo drops the puck to Sandberg, who has an underrated hard shot. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about it. Just a nice tip by Morgan Barron. But I like Alex Iafallo, what he does here. And he draws both Wild defensemen out, because I think it was Domestnikov. John Merrill was chasing Vlad Domestnikov. So again, you know, this is just, like you said, the fourth line. We know they can cycle the puck. All of these guys have skill. Barron was a third line guy last year. Both Iafallo and Domestnikov have played not only on the second line, but they've played on the Jets' first line. So this is not your kind of typical first line here. So I just love the work that they're doing here, forcing the Wild to defend, play on their heels, and to chase. And then just a nice deflection for Morgan Barron. I believe his first goal in 16 games or 17 games. I forget which game recently he had a goal taken away, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
I forget if it was the Kings game or the Flames game. I forget, Drew.
No, I mean,
when you get to game 77, like all these games just start to turn into one kind of fuzzy memory, right? But yeah, just a nice goal for Barron. And even though the Jets, were in complete control of this game, like you said, I mean, they needed that insurance goal. It was only a one goal lead. And to your point about how they prevented the Wild from getting anything, the Wild had no even strength scoring chances, zero. So they had a couple of high danger chances on the power play, but the Wild did not have a single high danger chance at even strength in the third period. So, that's coach porn for Rick Bowness and Scott Arneil, right? Like that's how you shut it down. That's how you protect a one goal lead, and then you add to it. Then you go back home, and the Jets are coming back home for one day. So that's what you want. You got a clean 2 points, right, against a team that you should beat and that's not going anywhere. So to me, that's just the effort. I love how the Jets were patient, opportunistic, and they took advantage of this. It was a little bit wide open in the first period.
Right.
But once the two teams settled in, it kind of became a little bit of a slog there in the second and third period. So you just love the fact that the Jets stuck with it and played a really solid defensive game in front of Hellebuck.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Jets, you know, you don't mind that it becomes a slog because then your structure is gonna maintain. And the Jets, you know, structure certainly did for periods 2 and 3 today, ultimately culminating with the 4-2 victory over the Minnesota Wild. I think the Wild are going to be very happy to not see Winnipeg anymore this season, as the Jets absolutely dominated them and just
completely. It's like 2018. Total... Didn't the Jets beat the Wild 5 times?
Something like
in 2018. Like it was. I think it was.
If I recall, I think they played them 4 times in this regular season, and the Jets won all four.
All four, yeah,
complete mastery of the Minnesota Wild, culminating with tonight's victory, 4-2. The Jets defeat the Minnesota Wild tonight in St. Paul, or this afternoon in St. Paul. The Jets fly home. They're off tomorrow, and then they head to Nashville on Monday to face the Predators on Tuesday before heading to Dallas on Thursday, and then, of course, wrapping up the road portion of the regular season on Saturday afternoon. And Saturday afternoon, a matinee affair in Denver that has certainly got some significance attached to it right now, depending on the results of future games between now and Saturday's contest against the Avs. Betway game recap. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support. When we come back on the Illegal Curve post-game show, we're going to do the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. We'll look to see if there's anything interesting coming out of the post-game comments for tonight, and Ezzy and I will start preparing for Ezzy to be in traction after his roller skating shenanigans later on. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on a Saturday evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers. Only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life? Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking. And to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni.
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage. Online at Rollies.com.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
After 6 p.m., welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg with you. I'm surprised you're not hunkering down for a little bit of WrestleMania tonight there, Ezzy. I know you're a big wrestling guy. And,
honestly, you know, thanks for reminding me. I completely forgot. I mean, I don't usually order them back in the day before we had kids. I would order once in a while. I know now You can get the WWE Network and then you just automatically get all the pay-per-view. So no, I wasn't planning on watching WrestleMania, Drew, but I am planning on going to AEW because Hustler, our good friend, has offered me a complimentary ticket. And I don't know if Remus and Benji Rothman are going to be going, but I thought it was pretty funny. Benji Rothman, who of course performs regularly at Rumors,
he'll be here in a he'll be at Rumors in a couple weeks time. Most of those shows are actually already sold out, so get your tickets quickly to get if you want to see Benji.
Quick shout out to our buddy Benji, and he brought keepas because of course if you know AEW, MJF, Maxwell, Jacob Friedman had a bar mitzvah last time AEW was in Winnipeg, so Benji brought keepas, which was pretty funny. So yeah, I'm gonna go to AEW, but I'll probably just, you know, catch the Monday Night Raw where they recap WrestleMania. But yeah, WrestleMania is always one of the biggest events on the sporting calendar.
There you go. Good update there from you there, Mr. Ginsberg.
Ginsberg's Wrestling Minute.
Yeah, there you go. Better than the Manuk Moose Minute. The Moose won, though. I think in a shootout.
He did win in a shootout. Yeah. Henry Nickanen got the winner.
Yeah. So if you want your latest on all the Moose game this afternoon, just go to Dave's Twitter feed. Even though he's in Vegas, he managed to cut up all the video and live tweet the Moose game.
Yeah, like, was he doing that by the pool? Like, where was he doing that at the craps table? Like, where was he doing that?
I don't ask questions of that nature. I
hope he wasn't in the hotel room because, Drew, you've been to Vegas a bunch of times. Like, when you're in Vegas, you should not be in your hotel room. Like, there's way too much to do to be spending in the hotel room. I assume he was outside somewhere doing it.
Who knows? It's Dave is an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a vest at the best of times. Our buddy Mike McIntyre tweets this out. If the Jets were to win their last five games, if they win out, which would of course make that an 8-game winning streak to end the regular season, they will be guaranteed to finish at least first or second in the Central Division. So it is within the Jets' realm, it is within their grasp to have home playoff games. It's up to them and their performance over the final five games, but it is certainly there for the taking if the Jets continue the good play that they've been demonstrating in the last three games, in the course of the 3-game winning streak, to try and flush the memory of the 6-game losing streak that preceded that.
Yeah, well, I mean, when the Jets lost those 6 games in a row, it was looking pretty bleak. Like, people were talking about the Jets maybe falling into that first wild card spot. Yeah. But then, you know, the Avalanche lose a game, the Jets win a couple games, and look, we're in a position where, you know, the Jets they can control their own destiny, right? Like,
they can.
You know, the Jets can finish second even if they win, you know, 4 of their last 5, and then they get some help by teams beating the Avalanche, right? But yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're going for home ice advantage. Whether that's first or second, you're going to try to win as many games as you can, starting with the Nashville game. And then obviously, you know, the big one is going to be the Jets and the Stars, because as we know, the Jets have not beat the Stars once this year.
That's right. The Jets have done to the Stars have done to the Jets what the Jets have done to the Wild. So the Jets will be looking to remedy that on Thursday night. But of course, they have to go to Nashville on Tuesday first. We'll wrap up tonight's post-game show with the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment, as we do on each and every edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Love that bumper. I get pumped up for that bumper every single time. Lots of good comments in the chat. We appreciate everybody joining us this afternoon. I guess we're in the evening now. It's 6:10, right? Evening. So the majority of the post-game show thus far, it's a quick one. Drew, as you can tell, is a multitasking man at work right now. But we're going to give it to this comment. We talked about Kyle Connor scored for the Jets in the first period, but he also gave up the puck to Matt Zuccarello, which led to Kirill Kaprizov's first goal, which made it 2-1. It was one all, at that time. But we're going to give it to this. I like this comment. 81 is a top 10 goal scorer in the league, gets little recognition. I agree with that. I think he is an underrated goal scorer. Find me a goal scorer, and I'll find 10 guys to play shutdown D. I think, you know, the reason why I like this comment, I realize goal scoring is the hardest thing to do in the NHL, but I think like we talked about, when you get into the playoffs, whether that's against the Avalanche or another team, I mean, these are going to be close games, and games can be determined by plays like what we saw in the first period where Connor just didn't manage the puck well. So JC, I mean, it's a hard, it's a hard-hitting comment regardless. I mean, like we said, Connor giveth and Connor taketh away. He's not a very good defensive player, but he's up to 31 goals in 61 games. And if he was healthy for those, I think he missed 16 games, he's most likely, you know, going to be kind of around that 45 to 50 goal pace, right? He's got a good chance at hitting 35. I don't think he's going to hit 40. He's just going to run out of time. But JC, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing info, and Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you. And congrats on winning the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
There you go. Congrats to JC for commenting. And that's, of course, anybody in the chat, as long as you comment, you are eligible to be picked by the mind of Ginsburg for the hardest hitting comment.
Until we make it the Tough Duck hardest hitting thought, because we know that there's people that watch the show but don't chat. We can't give it away for the best thoughts, because obviously we can't identify you. So
we haven't yet been able to read.
Until we do
minds.
That, it's the hardest hitting comment. But maybe one day we'll get to, you know, hardest hitting idea.
There you go. Exactly right. So it's something something to look forward to. Apparently, reading people's minds is what Ezra is asking for, which is a little bit creepy, because I don't think anybody wants that. I can read your mind, Ginsburg. Hang on. Yum 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 yum. That's your mind right there. Anyways, on that note, we've spent too much time together for the last so far today, but we had fun doing it. So that's the important part. I'll let you get on with your roller skating shenanigans. I'll get back to my shenanigans.
See you at Wheelies, Drew.
Yeah, there you go. I'll let everybody say thank you to everybody for joining us both this morning and tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show. We always appreciate the support. If you haven't already done so, be sure to smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, and subscribe to the podcast. Leave us feedback. Do all those things as we ask you to do, because we always like to hear what you have to say. A big thanks to all the sponsors who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, the website a possibility. That's our friends at City Place, our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Grid Park. Use code Illegal Curve and you can park for free. Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve.
Leslie Hockey. Figured it out, by the way. You have won the official Guess Where Drew Is online YouTube game. Drew is at Rumors. So if you want to go to Rumors right now and throw fruit at Drew, go ahead.
We prefer you not to do that. And in fact, we're completely sold out for both shows tonight. So if you want to come and say hi to me, if you don't already have tickets, you can come say hi. If you have tickets, come say hi to me regardless. But both shows are Rumors with Ryan Long as the headliner, sold out tonight. So yes, I'm going to get that hat of mine back on. I'm going to take off the Illegal Curve hat. I'm going to put back on the other hat as I multitask on this Saturday evening. We say thank you to everybody for joining us. If you haven't already done so, you be sure to smash that like button. We're next in action on Tuesday night, right around 9:40 p.m. following the Jets and the Predators. Until then, be safe, be well. IllegalCurve.com is the place to be for all your latest Jets and Moose news. And until then, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.